Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Are there some people who annoy you? You only have to see them and immediately it triggers some thoughts, some stuff. Or maybe it's some place and you go to it, and whenever you go to that place you immediately think of something. And these memories are triggered. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? Or when maybe something is mentioned, and it always takes your mind back to something that happened. And a lot of the time it's to do with forgiveness. It's to do with forgiveness. And forgiving people can be hard. And when we've got somebody we need to forgive, these memories lodge in our mind. And sometimes we can think that we've forgiven someone, but we can be aware that there are these triggers and they make you feel uncomfortable and you wonder whether you've really forgiven them or not. These people who annoy you, do you need to forgive them? In Matthew 18 we read about Peter. I'm sure in somewhere in the Bible it talks about being organised and getting your Bible over here when you're going to read from it. In Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked,
"Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times."
And Jesus answered, "I'll tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Now, why does Peter ask this question? Where has this come from? It doesn't seem to be connected to what goes on earlier in this chapter. But Peter comes up to Jesus and he said, Jesus, you know this forgiveness thing? You keep talking about forgiveness, don't you? Go on then. How many times? And he picked a number which he thought was pretty generous. Because he said, as many as seven. Have I got to keep on giving, forgiving as many as seven times? And he was a bit surprised by the answer that Jesus gives. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. When Peter said seven, he obviously didn't want to look mean. He didn't say one or two. He said, let's say seven. Now, let me ask you, if you lent some money to somebody and they didn't repay you, would you lend them some more?
No.
And what about if you say, oh look, go on, I'll lend you another tenner then, but this time, make sure I get it back. Right, so we've been taken once, here's the second one, 10 quid, and you never get it back. What do you think?
No.
No. Now, every time you see that person, what are you going to think? Immediately you see them, you think, I want my money back. They've never repaid me, you know. Not the first lot, not the second lot. No, they didn't. And Peter is saying this, and he says, what happens if this happens seven times? At what point, Jesus, do I stop being a mug? Is what he's asking. And Jesus says, Peter, stop counting. In some translations it says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And if you read the King James Version, it'll say 70 times 7, which is 490, which is... Either way, Jesus is saying, stop counting. What do you think about that? How do you react to that? So you've lent some money, and then you lent some money again, and Jesus says, you got to forgive, even when they haven't paid you back. Yeah. But that's not the way we are, is it? That's not the way we are. We only have to see them, and immediately you remember, and your body reacts, and you think, oh, there's that person. Yeah. And you know they've never repaid. You can't think about anything else. Your mind goes straight there. They've never repaid me. It's not over. And even when you've tried to forgive them, you haven't forgiven them. And your body even tells you, because you're getting worked up. Now, Jesus must have been able to see from Peter's reaction that the answer that he's given there is no help to him. Because Peter's in a mess before he starts when he comes, and he's still in a mess after that. In fact, he's in even more of a mess. Peter's obviously looking for a way out of a problem. And what Jesus says seems to make it even worse. So he goes on to tell a story. There's only one button I'm not supposed to press, and that was it. Yeah, never mind, never mind.
If that one was fine.
So, Jesus goes on to tell a story, and he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like, and I'm going to stop at that point, because this is part of our series about the kingdom of heaven. It's all about Jesus explaining what his kingdom is like, and how it's different from the way that we usually think. Different from the way we usually behave. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. So, Jesus starts to tell this story. And this just throws up loads and loads of questions. What? How did this guy get to owe so much money? 10,000 bags of gold. Can you imagine one bag of gold? That is an awful lot of money. 10,000. Jesus is saying, this guy, he owed so much money, you could not believe. How does he get to owe that much money? He's one of the servants of the king. This isn't some sort of wealthy businessman and everything's just gone a bit pear-shaped. It's, next one. What's this guy doing to try and repay? He owes all this money, so what's he doing? We're not told. Isn't he talking to the king's accountant, to the treasurer, saying, look, I owe this money, but I'm gonna repay it. I'm going to do it some way. Is he not doing that? We got so many questions. And Jesus didn't tell us. All we know is he couldn't repay. And the king knows that he can't repay. He's a servant of the king, so the king knows what he pays him. I'll tell you, the king knew that he couldn't repay. Not on the wages he was paying. So, the king orders that all that he has is going to be sold to repay the debt. Well, that's fair, isn't it? So the guy's bankrupt. And when you're bankrupt, the people that you owe, then they get everything that you do have, whatever that is left, you know? And maybe meager, but they get it. So that's fair, isn't it? That he was going to be sold to be a slave, so there'd be some income. And so was his wife, and so were his children, and his house, and his car, and his, everything he had, including his children, were going to be sold to go towards paying off the debt. Well, that's fair. I mean, he owes all this money, and he's done nothing about repaying it. But then in verse 26, had this the servant, he's got nothing to lose, has he? nothing to lose. So he falls on his knees and he begs. He goes as low as he can get and he says, be patient with me and I will pay back everything. Do you think that's true? Do you think there's any chance at all that this guy is going to repay? None whatsoever. No, no. He begs, give me more time. And the answer absolutely amazes him. The servant's master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. What? Can you believe that? He owed all this money. And he was supposed to be sold into slavery. And the king just says, you know what? Let's cancel the debt. Wow. So the next question is, why is the king being that generous? What's happening here? Why? Why is the king that kind, so generous? Don't know. But he just was. Now, can you imagine this man who'd been forgiven? What is he thinking right now? He's got a smile on his face. Yep, well done. Do you think he's a happy chappy? Do you think he is dancing as he leaves that place? Does he think that he's the luckiest person in the world? Wow, he's just been forgiven all this debt, and he gets to keep his house and his family. And maybe his reputation and everything. It's just he was headed towards oblivion, and all of a sudden he's dancing out of that place. He's delighted. I borrowed some money some time ago now. I borrowed some money and it was to buy a new car. Because I had a car and it was a bit unreliable, and I'd got a new job and I had to be there and I had to turn up on time, so I needed a car and it was going to have to be reliable. So I said, well, I'm going to get a new car. I didn't have enough money, and it was a red car that I bought.
Are you quite sure you're not a banger?
I shall ignore these. This merry heckling that I hear in my ears. So I borrowed some money, and you know, when I borrowed that money, I began to repay it bit by bit. When I had spare cash, I would repay. So it wasn't 10,000 bags of gold, and I did repay. But I'll tell you that every time I saw that person I borrowed the money off, immediately I think, still owe, you know, still owe some money. And it didn't matter if I saw them in this setting or that setting, as soon as I saw them, I knew I still owe it. It's still in there, it's still nagging at me. And then one day, the person said, you paid enough back now, you don't need to buy, you don't need to repay anymore. And I still owed £300. It's a long time ago, worth more than it is now, but I still owed £300, but all of a sudden, debt written off. And I was so happy, because there we go, got the car, I paid some off, been let off the rest, I can carry on, and now when I've got some spare money, I can start to I can start to save up. We're starting a new chapter. We're not in debt anymore. Off we go. And what's more, every time I saw that person, I didn't need to think I still owe money anymore. I knew that it was finished. And we're on a different relationship from then on. Yeah, I could stop worrying. I was overjoyed. I cannot imagine about this guy that we're reading about in the story. I can't imagine about this and what the relief that he had, because I know my relief was enough. Yeah. So, there we go. Then Jesus continues with the story. Here we go. Verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Just a minute. What's going on here? This guy owed him some money now. So he's dancing out because he's just been forgiven 10,000 bags of gold's worth. And he comes across somebody who owes him 100 silver coins. Now that is still an amount of money. 100 silver coins would be the equivalent in today's money of maybe about £5,000. This was not insignificant, but it was repayable, wasn't impossible. But he doesn't. He grabs him by the throat. What's this getting physical with him? I think we're seeing another side of this character now that we didn't see before. A minute ago, he was on his knees saying, "Just give me more time. I will repay." And now, he's got his hands on the man's throat and he's choking him. "Pay back what you owe," he demanded. Now the servant says exactly the same thing that he says. "Be patient with me, and I'll pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison till he could pay the debt. That's not right, is it? What's going on here? Has the king made a mistake? Should the king not have known what he was like? What's going on here? Now, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. We are outraged. Well, the other servants are outraged as well. And they went and told the master everything that had happened. Now what's going to happen? How is the king going to respond? What's going to happen? Did the king do the right thing in the first place? Should this guy be allowed to get away with being so nasty? Like, no, he shouldn't. No, this is wrong. So the other servants, they go and tell the king and say, "This is what he's done. Even after what you did and being so kind to him, this is what he's done." Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. That's right, isn't it? This man getting what he deserves. Yeah? Because he'd been forgiven so much, and yet he wasn't prepared to forgive somebody else a much smaller sum. And at this point we're saying, that's right. Now that's justice. Yeah. Good story, Jesus. Yeah, we approve of that. That's good. And we're all cheering and saying, yeah, he got what he deserved. But then Jesus adds one more sentence. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." And suddenly, everybody goes quiet. We've all been cheering because this story's come to a good ending, and then Jesus just adds this one sentence and you think, the story was actually about me. What? Yeah. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." What did it say? "This is how my heavenly Father will treat..." Ah. So, that story. Jesus is actually saying this to each one of us this morning. But you might think, oh, I don't owe money. I don't have people who owe me money either. So, this story, it isn't about money at all. Can you remember where we started? Peter said, how often must I forgive my brother? And the story is all about forgiveness. Peter said, how many times must I forgive? And Jesus told him, stop counting. And the story reminds us that God has forgiven us. When we couldn't pay what we owed, Jesus paid it for us. That's what we're talking about, the communion. When we owed, when we'd sinned, when we couldn't pay back, Jesus did. And in that communion service, we talked about Jesus' blood being shed for each one of us. And he has forgiven us so much, we have to forgive others. You and I are not perfect. We are going to need forgiveness. And when we are forgiven, we must forgive other people. Forgiveness is not optional. Forgiveness is not optional. Where does this verse come from? The Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, yeah, and forgiving. Lord, please forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. God is not going to forgive us if we aren't forgiving others as well. It's part of the deal. It's that right there in the Lord's Prayer. When we don't forgive, we make ourselves ill. Do you know that? I told you earlier on that you find somebody who annoys you, or that person who I owed money to. As soon as I saw them, my body reacted. And there was a reaction, and I began to get a bit uptight, a bit fidgety. And other people were talking to me, but actually I couldn't concentrate because my mind was blocking it out, and I was thinking, no, I still owe that person money. It's what the body does. There's tension there. We make ourselves ill when we don't forgive. There was a guy in a previous church who I disagreed with. A previous church I used to go to. And we disagreed about this and about that, and there was one major thing. And then I left the church not long afterwards. Not because of that, but I did leave the church, so I never sorted it out with him. And for years afterwards, I would be reminded from time to time about this disagreement, and every time I thought about it, my body reacted. I could just feel it. I could get away. I was getting a bit worked up. But you know, it was me. It wasn't him. He was quite happy. He didn't care whether I'd forgiven him or not. He was just doing what he was doing, and it didn't affect him. But it affected me because I hadn't forgiven. And my body reacted every time I thought about it. It was me who got worked up. It was me who had the problem. So I don't forgive, and I have the problem. And it was some years later before, you know, I really got this idea and thought, I've got to forgive him now. I've got to do it. I've got to forgive. And I still thought he was wrong, but it didn't matter. Graham, just put it down, will you? Just put it down. Doesn't matter who was right and he was wrong. Forgive him. You need to, for your sake, that is, for my sake. And I did. And I wrote him a letter, and I think he just probably laughed at it. He thought, you know, what are you getting? But for me, it was vital. Because I'd gone through that, and I'd done the forgiven, And that was really important. We have to forgive. Jesus said so. Psychologists tell us we have to. Our bodies tell us we have to. If there's somebody that you need to forgive, then do it. Do it today. Before today's out, do it. Sort it. If you need to talk to somebody, if you need somebody to pray with you, if this is going to be hard, then do. Talk to somebody. But do it. Get it sorted out. Forgiveness is not optional. Just remember how Jesus finished his story. And there it is. So, let's get on. The kingdom of heaven is like, and we've got to forgive each other.